Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 472 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Glenn.
And there's no Jay.
There is no Jay.
Fucking Stepdadam Reynolds has pulled out of what? Oh, he's missed the members one, hasn't he? Or two this year.
Yeah, he has missed a couple of episodes.
This is his first main episode he's missed. Or is it?
Nah, it is the first main one he's missed yet.
It's fucking shocking. Shocking behaviour, though.
12, we'll call him. We'll just call him 12. Under a very, very thin veneer, it's just a fucking flake.
You want it, I've never missed an episode ever, obviously. You haven't missed that many. But when you have missed them, I mean, it's been like major fucking life catastrophe events.
Yeah.
And the other one was when you were in Dakota. And you probably still would have done it then, except, you know, there's no internet in the jungles of fucking PNG.
That is fair.
That is fair.
But, yeah. Nicklin, heart attack, losing the baby.
Exactly. I wasn't going to go into details, but yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Where you at, Jay? Motherfucker.
I think he had a little bit of a sore throat.
Maybe if you talk less shit, you'd get less of an infection in your throat. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly. There's a phrase there, like, you know, warts and all. And that phrase doesn't appear into when you should go down on someone. So, extremely disappointing for, I'm sure for the listeners who support Penrith. The Penrith supporting listeners, I'm sure it's super disappointing.
Chris Bailey will cry into his fucking porridge, but that's about it.
But for the fans of the other 15 clubs, I mean, I guess you're going to find this episode particularly fair and balanced.
And free of agendas.
zero agendas. I mean, because, you know, I'm agenda free for like a month now. I mean, Trent's gone. I've got nothing to... all my enemies are vanquished. So I got nothing that I need to do anymore. But now we're looking at the news articles, and there's not a lot going on that isn't just
coaching merry-go-round speculation.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Leilua thing, Luciano Leilua getting the immediate release from the West Tigers. Thing is, they've gone and released him, and it's not actually a done deal that he can then start his stint at the Cowboys early, because it's said that they don't potentially have the salary cap space to get him up there for the last half of the year. So he's left in some kind of limbo land, I guess, and because he's definitely been released from his contract from the West Tigers. And honestly, after the weekend, do they want him there anyway?
Why they gave him the release, mate.
I mean, that was like he did. He was responsible for all four of those two-man strips, right? It felt like it was him every time.
No, I want to say at least three, but it could have been all four.
Yeah, I mean, that's an unwanted record that he set, I'm sure. I mean, just absolutely fucking ridiculous garbage plays. Look, you know, it's good for the Cowboys that they can't fit him in this year, because honestly, like, they've spoken, you know, about, well, you know, look, he can sort of cover us in these, you know, situations where we've got the injury to, you know, Heal and Lukey and Gilbert. But man, honestly, just pull someone out of the cupboard up there, because I just don't know. I don't know if he's the answer to any question.
Unless, the Cowboys.
Unless the question is, who is the bigger, fatter brother of the most disappointing fucking pair of brothers that ever fucking line up for the West Tigers?
Look, I've rated his performances for the most part of the season.
He has like a damaging sort of run to him here and there. If he fucking holds it, if he successfully plays it afterward.
Yeah. The games this year and towards the back end of last year, he played a bit of a lone hand. Like he was building a consistency that we hadn't really seen in his career to date. It's a strange one for the Cowboys to sign him initially anyway, for me.
It's kind of like they signed him, I think, before these guys had emerged, and then all of a sudden they just went like, bam, and turned the origin players overnight, you know?
There was still some speculation over whether Lukey and Nanai and Cotter and, you know, these guys were going to be what they are. So they're like, oh, well, you know, he's an established guy. He's obviously doing well. We'll bring him into the system. It's even stranger, given how the Cowboys are going, to bring him in now, if they do. I just feel like that. And if it's to cover Lukey, that's a strange one.
I understand self-destructive behaviour, right? Like, things are going so well. What can I do to fucking sabotage them? That's what the Cowboys are doing. We're going so much better than we thought we would.
Yeah.
We were going to be the spooners on paper at the start of the season. Exactly, we're up for the spoon. Right. And now look at us. We need to put some extra resistance on this shit. What can we do to fuck that up? I know. Let's get a fucking penalty drop-a-thon machine, bring him into the side, and fuck up our completions and our defence.
That'll test us.
And with his carries, though, like I feel like there's this, I don't know what to call it, like crazy hair syndrome or something. Mm. Like people who have long hair, that is wild hair, when they hit the line and their head snaps back and their hair flies, and it just gives the illusion that they're doing something.
That they're traveling with a lot more velocity.
They're traveling faster. They're hitting harder in the contact. shit. Like that. And I feel like he's almost the poster child for that.
I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah. Not something I can personally relate to.
Well, no, that's right. you'd be the least effective looking runner in the game.
Not a compliment.
Ben Kennedy was all right.
That's true.
I love that guy.
He left a trail of destruction. That's the thing. I don't know that I've got that in me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Although I did have my first training run with the Touch Football Club tonight.
What do you mean your first training run with the club? You're playing?
That is my goal. That's my plan. Wow.
You've dusted off the fucking boots.
I had a pair of boots that I bought when I was coaching Jackson, and I literally, shit you not, I dusted them off. I literally got a wipe and I wiped the fucking dust off them.
Have you got, is it straight up touch? It's not like Oztag or any modifier?
No, just like straight up touch.
Without tackling it?
Yeah, straight up. So
have you got the motor for touch?
No, well, that's what I need to build. That's why I'm training. It was interesting. I feel like, given it's the first fucking run I've had in a fair while, I feel like I did okay. My
Aaron
son
Woods plays first grade, mate. You got nothing to worry about.
That's fair. But the thing is, the long term goal is that, Jackson's obviously playing B grade men's at the moment at 14 years of age. So, ultimately, I'd love for him to, for me to probably play up and him to play down, and we meet in the middle in maybe C grade.
Yeah. decides that he doesn't want to make A grade or have any further aspirations in the game of touch, and he's just happy to fucking play social.
Well, he's forming a habit of playing two games, so he'll fill in for C grade, who always struggles for numbers, and then he'll play his B grade game.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he can do that in a season without having to not go down.
Is he playing the shit quality game first or the good quality game first?
Well, C grade comes first, and B grade straight after.
Yeah, so. that's got to be detrimental, right? It's just
warm up. I think he uses it as a warm up
and playing whole fucking games.
To the point where, that's what I say, he busted his knee. He was supposed to play. B grade, C grade was struggling for numbers, so he came down early and filled in. And he twinged his knee at basketball the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets out there, and we're getting very off track as far as a rugby league podcast, but it is what we do. runs out there, hurts his knee, hobbles around, still busts a gut, still fucking, you know, essentially length of the field fucking chase downs when everyone else in the actual team
had given him up.
Was like, fuck that, I'm not chasing. And he's fucking filling in chasing. Legitimately hobbled off the field and went and told his B grade coach, who was like, mate, I'm no good. So.
Oh, look, you know, he gets some kind of like imaginary medal for being a team player and toughness and the rest.
Yeah,
of
look, he's just a competitive little shit. He's more to the point, you know. He's very competitive. But look, it was fun to be out there training, you know, tonight with him, and it's a fucking small step on a fair journey I've got in front of me, if I'm honest. But I did okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was going to jump back into that, I'd want to do something like, you know, like Oztag, or something that's got like a bit more footy to be played in it rather than just roll, you know. Like, that's like Volandi's rules. I need to wrestle.
I might see what it opens up to, but at the moment I'm one session in and I haven't died.
Yep.
Although I am going to feel it tomorrow in my legs.
You look alright. You look alright. You don't look like half dead or anything to me.
I think the benefit, really, and we're going to get super new age here, but I do yoga once a week, and that's right. That's on a Tuesday night. And
bit of downward dog action.
Oh man! And no, I am the yoga class that I go is it's called Brick Man, so it's specifically for blokes, obviously, that are looking to get into yoga.
Brick Man, it was like, you do, instead of using a yoga mat, you fucking do it on like just a rug where there's just Lego strewn all across it.
Well, it's a play on words from Bikram, but it's also, you know, obviously many blokes have the flexibility of a fucking house brick net, and I'm no exception to that. So shout out to the bloke last night that legitimately fell asleep at the end of the yoga class when I thought that some muscle or tendon from, it's probably my hamstring, but it felt like it was attached somewhere deep in my ass.
Yeah.
It felt like it was going to fucking tear off wherever it was. So I was like, cunt, I ain't falling asleep in this. This is a battle. I'm fighting a battle.
This is hell on earth.
Yeah. Oh, mate, fucking completely out.
And that was because he was just so relaxed.
I guess so.
I mean, I've never
slept. He's a big fella. A big fella. I think he's a bit of a Cupid doll, because at one point that, you know, we did a reverse curvature fucking thing where we, you know, you lay with a block under your fucking shoulder blades, and as soon as his head hit the floor, he was fucking, within 15 seconds, it was legitimately not quite snoring, but he was 100% out.
He's just like narcoleptic. He's narcoleptic like me.
Shout out to that bloke.
I could lay my head down anywhere. I mean, I think it came from when I was living in Japan, and you get on the train, and people there just go to sleep on the train because there's no, culturally, nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to get robbed, and you just learn this sixth sense of like, you go to sleep on the train, and it might be a half an hour journey or something, and then you wake up just as it's fucking, just as it's slowing down, about to stop at your station, you know.
And so I'd get some Japanese conductor at the fucking depot when the train's done seven rounds of fucking the entire country, telling me I've got to get off the fucking train.
Nice one. So, you know, well, I guess, you know, segueing from your plans, the NRLW has confirmed some expansion teams for 2023. And, they confirmed that they're going to add the Raiders, the Sharks, the Cowboys, I guess Cowgirls, and the West Tigers admitted to the Premiership. That'll bring the number of teams up to 10. So this is the biggest single season increase in squad size and everything. I kind of like the way they really were inching it up, you know, like two at a time. But, you know, I guess they feel like certainly the interest is blown up over, you know, definitely, after the last season. Hopefully the players are there as well to fill. And now that they've got a 10-team competition and they've admitted the West Tigers, then ninth
what
is on the table.
What could possibly go wrong?
Ninth is on the table in yet another competition. It's amazing. And it's probably what I'm looking forward to the most, I'll be honest. To see if the girls can pull it off.
They will probably win it. I think it's great. I am a big fan of the NRLW. I think it's a great competition, and the way that they've, as you said, eased into it. Mm-hmm. And it probably speaks to the fact that they're trying to make it sustainable, which is great foresight.
Yep.
And you know, I look forward to the day when, you know, every NRL team has an NRLW team, and you know, potentially they play in the, you know, I know they mix the schedules up and stuff, but I'd like to see them play on the same day and make a real,
yeah, and when
you know, the old them, you know how back in
three
the day,
grades.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's not to diminish the NRLW. I'm just saying, like, make a real day of going to the footy.
Oh, particularly if they, yeah, right. Particularly if they're televising those NRLW games before the NRL games as well. I mean, because that audience, they're gonna people are going to start what they're doing earlier, and you know, catch them, and even if they catch the end of it, you know, they catch the second half or whatever. I mean, it's gonna increase the interest, I think, in the games, and because and the quality is actually getting pretty good. Like my hypercritical knock on it in the first season was that. And this is not to be like insulting, but it was kind of like the Bulldogs kind of play, whereas defensively, you know, they were pretty good, and you had some of the women that would actually, you know, put some hits on and everything like that, and look pretty solid there. But when it came to attack, it was very one out. The kicking games weren't great, and the opportunities that they'd create for themselves, they just didn't have the ability to pass selectively and accurately enough to execute them. But then you fast forward to like the last season, and there were some fucking cracking games.
Yeah,
and the standard of play, like, it felt like it almost doubled year on year.
Yeah, it's coming. And it's come a long way in a short space of time.
Yeah, sure. And if they can significantly increase the standard of play again next year, I mean, like, I don't think they can because it got so good at times last year that I think, you know, they're getting thereabouts. Now where they probably need to be. So hopefully they maintain that with four new clubs coming in. It's the biggest expansion, so you know there is a little bit of danger there. But
I guess there probably is the danger of chopping up the field, which may if you play several games.
There's always a there's always a curtain raiser though these days, you know. So at least one game. So
I'd love to see it go all the way through. You know, like have a New South Wales / Queensland Cup game.
Yeah, it's very niche though. We are not in the majority for that sort of thing.
Mm.
Believe it or not, like I can say for certainty without even asking you a question. I mean, that's what you did when you were a kid.
100%.
And that's what I would do.
Tennis club at Lemire, putting away schooners.
Yeah.
In preparation for a long drive home, as you did in the day, as was the custom at the time. And I'd toddle on over to...
In the HQ and then fucking bench seat.
No, it was
Valiant.
Fuck, it was an XB, XB station wagon.
Yeah.
did have a Valiant at one stage. But, yeah, I would toddle on over to Arana Park or Campbelltown Stadium and watch the 23s in the reserve grade and wonder why Noel Goldthorpe wasn't getting a run in front of Jason Taylor in first grade, but you know, never fucking happened.
Yeah.
Yep. Went on to play for the fucking Mariners and the Cowboys and fucking killed it. Jason Taylor left and fucked off and made a career at the Bears. So
yeah.
Only two.
And being a grumpy fucking traffic warden.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Which is like the greatest
match. And destroying Robbie Farah's career.
The greatest match of personality and profession I've ever seen.
Appreciate it.
Good work on the expansion. Good luck on the coming season with 10 sides. And that's good as well because now they've got 10 teams. They can get the season. They can, you know, add more weeks to the schedule. So hopefully onwards and upwards and it continues the way it's been going. There's no other real... I want to talk about the Tongan team and... And not all the teams have been named yet for the Pacific Islands. Like PNG are yet to name a team, I believe. I've seen Fiji and Tonga, but we'll talk about them when the dust settles next week on next week's episodes because you know, particularly with Tonga, they've selected in their squad, they've selected Daniel Tupou and Katoni Staggs. And the clarification on that came out today that that was always something that their coach Christian Wolf was going to do. And he told Fittler he was going to select them because he wanted to make sure they were selected for Tonga. And then it's up to Fittler to select them for Origin. And if he selects them for Origin, then fine, they're playing Origin.
Yeah.
But if not, they're not being caught out and not having the opportunity to play the other game that's that where the teams are announced, you know, a couple of days earlier than the New South Wales team. So that's a great way to do it. And I guess it clears up the potential. I think, you know, I suppose Tupou and Staggs will be there then for game two of Origin, but we'll find out
in a couple of days.
Right. So the games coming up this weekend, we're starting with Thursday night football, and it is the St. George Illawarra Dragons taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs in Wollongong. Dragon side, Rawalawa returns on the wing. Ruben drops out of the squad. Finai back on the other wing, which pushes Monga out of the 17. Murderous Frank Molo is benched, with DeBellin moving to prop, and Jaden Sua starting in the back row. Mbai is benched, and McCullough. Maka is starting lock.
Not on my list.
That's a mistake there on what I was reading. Yeah, because you can see there, now I can see Tarek Sims is there.
Yeah.
And Maka is the, why the fuck would you put Maka in the side anywhere other than that?
Why would you put him in, even at hooker? But anyway, he's there, and it's a milestone game for him.
Yeah, well, and you know, maybe that's part of the reason. I mean, yeah, Mac has lost a step. We know. But
did you say he's lost a step?
He's lost. Yeah, he's lost a leg.
I like this. like this very liberal, conservative, and passionate version. Yeah,
you know, someone's got to bring the Dairy Queen vibe. I mean, Aaron Wood's still playing first grade, so Macca, he's not that. Fair. I mean, he's in the same ballpark as that. But he's not that. Rabbit side, though. Taffy replaces Mama Zealous on the bench. That is it for changes.
I think the Dragons will be better than they were last week, but I think the Rabbitohs are just starting to find a little bit of form and cohesion. I think Damien Cook will have a huge game. I can't see the Rabbitohs losing this game.
Yeah, I still expect the Rabbits to have the advantage through the forwards. Damien Cook will be tapering his way up to a state of origin, as he always does in games around this time of year. You know, I'm still not convinced on the halves, but they've got some big game players like Alex Johnson, Campbell Graham, Cameron Murray, and I think just the experience and quality of those guys alone. Is enough, particularly when you put them up against, you know, pretty much Ben Hunt,
exactly,
who's playing almost a lone hand. Like the Dragons, and as I said in the last episode, like the Dragons created like a lot of opportunities and breaks against the Cowboys. I think they had at least three line breaks, like, and they weren't statistical line breaks or anything. They were clean, you know, like 30-meter runs that they just couldn't finish off, and I just don't, you know, I don't know what, you know, whether the coaching or the quality of the players improves in one week to take advantage of them.
No.
Rabbits, easy. Friday night, the 6 p.m. game, the mighty Manly Sea Eagles take on the North Queensland Cowboys at Brookvale, and the Manly side, welcome back.
You just called it the 6 p.m. game.
It is. So the 6 p.m.
Manly,
game.
When Manly it's play, almost a, it's not a pub.
Well, no,
spot.
I mean, the Cowboys are playing as well. I mean, it's a cracker of a game. One of the games of the season. I mean, if you know, you stick like a doggy side in there, it earns its fucking title. But I mean, this is obviously a cracking game between, you know, two of the form sides in the competition.
Oh,
now,
my God.
The Manly side, they welcome back DCE at halfback. Schuster shifts to the bench, and Burbo drops to the reserves. The Cowboys side, Cotter returns at prop, Cohen Hess benched. Nanai is back in the second row. Tom Gilbert is out of the squad. Lemuelu starts in the back row. Lukey will miss the rest of the season. And no word yet on the status of Luciano Leilua. Although, believe me, I would love to welcome him into the side to have the opportunity to lose to Manly twice in 6 days. But
that would be an interesting achievement.
It would be. It would be. It would be. And really, when you think about it, there aren't that many mid-season changes.
No.
And then you've got the subset of that subset of mid-season changes where a player potentially could be. Like, I remember it happened last year. I think Malmolo got smashed by the Storm playing for the Warriors. Yep. And then the next game, you were playing the Storm, I think.
Yeah, and that's where they put 60 on us in about 3 minutes.
Yeah, and Paul Kennedy, what a shit week that was.
Yeah.
A low point in his lifetime, fair to say.
I'm not sure he's ever recovered, actually, if I'm honest.
Look, I wouldn't say I'm confident, but I mean, I think the Manly can get the job done at Brookvale. To be honest, I mean, the way that they've played last couple of weeks has been solid. The pleasing things, the error is way down. The piggyback penalties and all that sort of bullshit out of the opposition's end, that's been cut way down. And now the two of the biggest killers that they've had for, like, not this season, like, you know, last couple of seasons, I suppose. It seems like, you know, the defensive problems out wide are certainly improved, if not fixed.
Can't you beat the Tigers?
And
for fuck's sake.
We beat the Tigers and a fucking Category 5 cyclone blowing behind you, which is basically like beating, you know, three Tigers teams.
Which is still not beating a first grade side.
Hey, you know, you may not like it, but you must accept the Tigers are in first grade. They represent a club. They have a club representing their fine history.
It's a fucking long bow. It's a long bow you've drawn there.
But look, I think everything's trending up. I mean, obviously the Cowboys, one of the form teams of the competition, deserve to be favourites for the game. But I look forward to the challenge.
As much as I'd love to see you happy. On those rare occasions it actually happens, I'll be tipping the Cowboys in this game.
Yeah, I won't be tipping the Cowboys, but I do concede they deserve to be favourites for this game.
Yeah.
But yeah, old-fashioned ambush at Brookie.
The Brookvale factor is a big one for Manly, and I feel like if it's a close game, the crowd, you know, they'll lift, and that'll give them an extra boost at the back end of the game, but... sadly, I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think the Cowboys will do it reasonably comfortably.
Yeah, and Chad, we've been talking about how much value for money he's been this year, but I mean, he's never had to tackle the likes of Pamoli Olakau'atu, and he's never come up against the Jordan of the NRL, you know, Daly Cherry Evans. So
yeah, no other team in the NRL has a sizable Polynesian forward that would run at the halves. You're right. Manly is the only team that has that.
I'm glad. See, isn't it? It's much easier to get along on the episodes. I don't know what the thing, why it is tonight, but I agree with you, Glennie. That's an excellent. That's an astute observation.
You're welcome.
And I agree with you 100%. Melbourne Storm.
Jeez, we're getting along fine. What is it? I can't quite put my finger on.
Yeah, I honestly don't. I don't know what's different between tonight and last night. the Melbourne Storm take on the Brisbane Broncos in the late game on Friday. The Storm side have named Pappy as a reserve, but I don't believe he's going to make his comeback. I believe that he won't play in this game, and then he won't be available for Origin 2. Grant Anderson, though, remains in the side. There we go. There's an update. No, I didn't read the Wednesday update. Poor old Pappy's got COVID, so he's fucking gone. The Broncos. Adam Reynolds is out with a rib injury. Fourth. I actually looked it up. I think it was his fourth one this year. And
fourth injury?
People will tell you that he's not. People will tell you that he's not injury prone. And this is the thing: it's not like he's all these recurring injuries and stuff. I mean,
I'll tell you,
he's got an assortment of things. He's got sorenesses. He's got all this shit that keeps him out of games.
The mere suggestion that Adam Reynolds isn't injury prone,
yep,
doesn't pass the sniff test.
No, and the thing is that the Rabbits knew, like, this is the Adam Reynolds experience, and the Rabbits knew. And the thing is, a team that's coming to the end of a premiership window like the Rabbits and losing a coach and having to bring some new guys in, they understand that the Adam Reynolds experience wasn't for them. What does he bring to the Broncos? A fuckload of professionalism and a great kicking game when he gets on the field. However, does he bring it for the full three years they signed him to? I don't know. Herbie Farnworth is out with the bicep injury.
Well, the answer is already no, because he's had four injuries this year.
But also, you do have to concede, though, apart from, you know, despite those injuries, he's brought a lot to the side.
100%. I rate the guy, and I would have signed him on a three-year deal.
Unless you want to crown that Kurt Capewell is the real driving force behind that.
Look, he shouldn't be understated. But the biggest... Sorry, have you finished going through the ins and outs?
No, I haven't actually. So, who else have we got here? Tyrone Roberts is going to pair with Mam in the halves. Staggs returns to the centres and replaces Farnworth. Cobbo's back, so Pereira drops to the reserves. And Capewell returns, so that puts Rabadi out of the 17. And Turpin on the bench with Corey Pakes out injured.
What happened to Tyson Gamble?
What did happen to Tyson Gamble? That's an excellent question, and I don't have an answer.
Why are you fucking dusting off the corpse of Tyrone Roberts and jamming him into the 7 when not 2 weeks ago, Ezra Mann played 7 and Tyson Gamble played 6 and they fucking made a reasonable fist of it, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. What is the fucking story for him? I don't know.
Did he die? Surely that's the only possible explanation.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to see if there's any news or anything. Okay, because he's not. I have to get into an injury list later to see what the deal is with him. But I mean, when they start bringing guys like Turpin into the bench, and he's, you know,
maybe he died
very out of favor. Yeah.
Would be a tough one to. I think this would be a lot tougher to pick if Reynolds was playing. The fact that he's out, I think the Storm had just got too much. And the Broncos lack that bit of direction and lose their way a little bit.
But also the Storm are so good at applying game plans and targeted pressure on young players and combinations that aren't there.
Mm.
And like Mam's been great since he's been brought into first grade due to the injury-prone nature of Adam Reynolds. But it's a different story when he's paired with Tyrone Roberts, who I don't think has played in, like, 12 years, and they don't have a combination. And the Storm, however, you know, they've got their set combination right there.
I guess the Broncos are going to have to make do after the unfortunate death of Tyson Gamble.
Yeah, and maybe they could lift and do it for Tyson.
Maybe. Yeah. They'll be wearing black armbands, surely. I think the Storm will be far too strong.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that? I mean, because this is one of those games where you'd say, yeah, if Reynolds was there, you go, this is one of those real tests.
Yeah.
For the Broncos to prove the reality of their credentials.
I think the Broncos will be competitive and they'll give a good account of themselves, but the Storm are just too good. And too adept at winning the big moments in the games. And, yeah, I don't think the Broncos without Reynolds will have that ability to wrestle that away from them.
Tyson Gamble is suffering a leg injury and the prognosis for his return is indefinite.
Yeah, there you go.
Indefinite. So he's essentially, until we've heard better news, he's died of a leg injury.
Yeah.
A brutal leg injury. I think Storm.
I think he lost his leg. Bled to death.
Right. Well, that explains it. The Sharks take on the Titans in Coffs Harbour. The Sharky side, unchanged from last round. Finucane is in the 19, so he's working his way back from his knee injury. The Gold Coast Titans side, Brimson returns at fullback after a bout with the Covice, which sees Isako shift to the wing and Masters out of the 17. Big Tino starts in the lock, and Mo Fotuaika is benched.
What is Tino's preferred position? Plays prop one week, lock the next.
In the game as it currently stands, though, lock
probably
and prop
means fuck all.
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, there are very few locks who play like you would traditionally expect a lock to play. Yeah, and probably Jakey, and probably fuck all other than that, really, right?
Yep.
Yeah, if not many, if any.
Tino ain't a lock.
Well, he's a lock in the 2022 sense of the word, which is a prop that doesn't wear 8 or 10. Look.
The not Titans a lot of ball playing, and that, which probably leads to my point. Not a lot of ball playing in the Titans forwards.
No.
The way of the game at the moment, and it's probably the blueprint and the copycat mentality of the NRL following on from Penrith's example in success, is that now everyone's sort of, well, plenty of teams are wrestling to have an Isaiah Yeo.
Yep.
The most underrated player in the universe, apparently. You're hearing it more and more, but not tonight.
No, we've heard it. We're not hearing more and more. We're hearing exactly the same amount.
Yeah.
It started when Jay started being on the show.
Yeah.
And it's continued for the entire time at the same level, unabated. So you're not really hearing it more and more unless you're talking about the cumulative effects of blows to our heads over the last like fucking 6 years or whenever, whatever
fair.
It's been.
That's a fair point. I just don't think the Titans have it in them to compete with the Sharks for 80 minutes.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. Look, the Sharks certainly.
Can you hear the furry cobra in my house now?
No, I can't. It's
fucking scratching.
Purring loud, hey?
Scratching the fucking door and squawking.
Oh, trying to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I couldn't hear a thing. Maybe the punters can hear it. I can't hear it through the Skype call. Maybe it's on your recording though.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, the Titans have not been able to defend at all lately. There was words on the streets that a heavy defeat at the hands of who the fuck did they play last week? I can't even remember. Whoever the fuck that was going to lead to the death of their coach. He survived, maybe by virtue of some consolation tries, bringing the margin closer by the end of the game.
The Rabbitohs.
The Rabbitohs.
30-16 they lost.
That's it, yeah. And it was effectively like...
We just spoke about this fucking last night
game. Yeah, and it was, yeah, but that's it. Gone, out of my head. Used it, ejected it, gone. Got no space.
Fucking brilliant.
The Sharks haven't been hitting the heights that they did in the early stages of the season where they pulled off that... the eye-catching win against the Eels early on in the season. And you had like Talakai running amok for a couple of weeks there. Or two, I think. They haven't hit those heights, but they are a far more complete side than the Titans have ever been.
And just better coached, I feel.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree.
Too much structure for the Sharks, and I think the Sharks forwards nullify the advantage. Whilst they're not ball-playing forwards, there's some sizable fucking bodies in that Titans pack.
Yep.
But I think it's nullified by the Sharks pack, and then you've got McInnes at lock as that linchpin to capitalise off the metres from the big fella. So,
and then the creativity of Nicho Hynes, who's got more creativity in one fucking leg than the entire spine of the Titans organisation at the moment.
I tend to agree with you. Jesus, we're agreeing with each other. This is great.
This is what it should be like.
Yeah, this is new. It's so...
People talk about the Dairy Queen shit, but I mean, they don't live it like we're living it tonight.
That's correct, mate. I cannot put my finger on it.
So, mate, Cronulla Sharks are going to win this game, right?
I agree, Nathan.
Oh, I love it. I love the, like, my two favourite words in the English language paired together in the correct sequence. The Warriors take on the Penrith Panthers. Oh, this one's happening down at Ready. I wonder if fucking Steve Brown will pull himself off his deathbed to go and watch this one.
Unfortunately, it was a horrible accident that he was involved in with Tyson Gamble. Unfortunately, he was caught up with him, and Tyson unfortunately bled to death due to the loss of his leg.
It was a delayed Chinese New Year party, and they were basically, you know, they were inside the dragon costume. Tyson Gamble was the legs and the head, and Jay, of course, was the ass.
Yes.
And there was a horrible accident with firecrackers, most probably,
and a lantern. Just, I mean, you know, the firecrackers went off. It was more that where they'd been inserted before they went off that was the problem.
Yeah, and obviously, and Tyson Gamble lost a leg, and that ignited the dragon, and unfortunately, yeah, stepped unfortunately, down is burned to death.
That's unfortunately the firecrackers were jammed that far up his ass that it gave him a sore throat, and he died.
Yes. died of a sore throat.
So general soreness, we'll call it.
Stepdad soreness. That's what we're calling. I'm going to write that one down. That'll be the title of the episode. Stepdad soreness. Fucking perfect. All right, just give me a second. So, yeah, do you want to talk about this game, Glady Warriors versus the Panthers? I mean, I may even convince myself to go and watch this one, to be honest. Because, you know, fuck, at least someone at the show needs to go and look. What you got for you this year?
Look, if I could channel my inner Jay, I'd look at this and say, here's the thing. Isaiah Yeo, underrated. Luai, patient. Nathan Cleary, kicking game.
Yeah, what an agreeable show. No pushback.
Kick out
like having an Addo Carr of a season like he had in his last season at the Storm before he goes to the Bulldogs to fucking wither and die on the vine.
To really just have a real Tyson Gamble of a career at the Bulldogs. Fuck me, the Panthers are $1.05. The Warriors are $10. That's all we need to say.
Look, you don't have to say a thing about anyone in the Panthers organization. Let's look at the Warriors. Let's look at what the Warriors have done over the last couple of weeks and the points that they've conceded in games and the lack of defense that they've shown, with whoever's coaching them. I wish them all the best in the Stacey. Yeah, we are clearly rooting for this side in the Stacey Jones era, and I'd love him to be the first successful coach of this fucking club. But this is the week they've decided.
Hang on a sec.
This is the week they've decided.
The first successful coach. Is that? I don't even know if you did that on purpose.
You got to look on your face like something. I did something. What did I do?
I don't even know if you did it on purpose.
Well, they haven't won a premiership. So they haven't like, you know, defined success. It was like in titles, right?
Oh, fuck. Oh, the irony. The irony that they're playing an Ivan Cleary coach side. Ivan Cleary took them to a grand final.
Look, you know.
Oh, fuck. Look,
brilliant.
Take credit for it. Even if you didn't do it on purpose.
There'll be people that say that's accidental. But look, you know, it doesn't mean a thing. If you ain't got the ring. Now, the Warriors side, though, they've decided that this week, coming up against the defending premiers, who seem to be on unstoppable roll at the moment, this is the week to go, well, Harris Tavita's pulling the pin on his career after this season. So let's bring in Ronald Volkman, a young guy with tons of raps on him. Let's bring him in this week to proper fuck his fledgling career.
This guy's development has been accelerating at a rapid rate of knots. We need to knock that on the head. Yeah. Throw him in against Penrith.
Yeah, and Sean Johnson has had a rocket fired up him, I believe. Hey, did you see that video? Fuck, who was it now? Fuck, I can't remember who it was. There was a video where they were talking to, it was after the Warriors game, and I think that on the sideline they're talking to maybe Reece Walsh or DW. No, I can't remember who it was. They're talking to White, like, and they were getting interviewed. You know how they'd have them front and center on the camera, and they got the guys in the commentary booth or, you know, in the studio firing questions down at them, right?
How did you get Reece Walsh and Dallin Watene?
No, because I don't remember who it was, but And I just cannot remember. I'm just throwing names out there. I thought they might have had a chance. The reason why I said it is because I thought that maybe they had DWZ up there to talk about that amazing fucking try, because that would have probably put him on the radar to catch a sideline interview at the end of the game. But in the background of that interview, you can see, I can't remember who the player was, but someone absolutely fucking serving Sean Johnson.
A Warriors player?
A Warriors player absolutely fucking giving it to him with both barrels.
I didn't see it, and I feel like I've been deprived of some absolute
I'll try and find it and chuck it in the game thread.
Surely it had to be Tohu Harris or...
I don't think it was Tohu.
Josh Curran's probably got the stones to do that.
Josh Curran's probably got the platform in which he can actually do that too, because he is, you know, a great player for them.
Mm.
But I will find the video and I'll put it in the game thread on the Facebook group for this one, because I thought it was very, very interesting. And then you're seeing, when I was just scanning for news articles earlier, I saw that, you know, there was something talking about, you know, that he came close to being dropped.
Wow.
So they recognize what everyone else is recognizing, that Sean Johnson is just not fucking doing it for him, which makes it weird that they'd put a rookie in, however highly rated he is, and pair him with Sean Johnson. I mean, I know Harris Tavita's going, but I think that young guy is mature enough that he's fucking given it everything.
100%.
You know, where Sean Johnson, you know, obviously.
Well, I think he showed enough maturity in the interview that he gave when he spoke about his retirement.
Yep.
To indicate that he's professional enough to put in 100% for the rest of the season until he finishes his time there.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, Panthers, what colour jerseys will the Panthers wear? If they wear black jerseys with black armbands, is that a mark of disrespect for the unfortunate and tragic and untimely death of our brother?
Look, we love the guy, obviously, and we're mourning his death.
We are.
But I mean, like, does the Panthers organization even know who he fucking is? Really?
Jeez, he's underrated, isn't he? Within the Panthers. Very
underrated. Yeah. I mean, because, well, you know, I guess, you know,
to be rated, they'd have to know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a formula at play here. To be underrated, then first you need to have a rating that you should be rated at, and then you need to have a rating that they rate him at. I mean, and then you know, figure B has to be less than figure A. So, look, I feel like there's a lot of debate around the subject. Panthers by like a fucking million, like 50. 50's on the table for sure.
I think it'll be 50 at half time.
Is this the last game they haven't ready?
Yeah, because they've got the fucking... Almost said we in relation to the fucking Warriors. Let's hear about that for a decade.
It is funny how they'll latch onto a single slip of the tongue, isn't it?
Fuck me.
Yeah,
dumb. Yeah, they got the Tigers next week in New Zealand, so.
Yeah. There's going to be nothing but sponge cake and fucking jammed all over Morton Daly Stadium and through the car park after this one.
Yeah.
And in the cubicles, of course.
And of course, the customary domestic violence case in the car park after the game.
Well, it is a Penrith game at Redcliffe.
Yeah, 100%. I mean,
it's a powder keg environment. All these brand new fucking Panthers jerseys that could have gone towards payments on the fucking Commodore or a carton of fucking Winnie Greens.
Or a fucking sandwich for a kid.
The Parramatta Eels take on the Roosters in Parramatta.
Is it wrong that we're having as much fun as we are? It's fucking brilliant. I fucking love it. Fuck that cunt.
Oh, so many new meat. Like, Tyson Gamble's death. Like, I mean, that one's permeated almost every game. The Eels take on the Roosters. And are there no changes to that side that got humiliated by the worst team of the last two seasons? The Roosters side. Kiri is named despite concerns about his soft shell crabness. Verrills returns at hooker despite missing several.
I will say that I thought about that last night after we stopped recording, as I was getting ready for bed. I was finishing off a little bit more work, and I thought of the soft shell crab. I fucking laughed. And then today at work, I was just fucking toiling away, doing a few quotes and stuff.
Tell
and
me
the
though.
The fucking soft shell crab crept into my head again. Oh, I was giggling away.
Tell me, did it make you pick up your phone and hit Uber Eats and then fucking throw an order down to the sushi train for
No, I will say it did not do that.
Right. That's what I was thinking after.
What if you go in there and order a Luke Keery? Do they know what you're talking about?
Yeah, no. It hasn't gone that wide yet. Give it a few weeks.
Yeah.
And you'll be hearing,
it more and more. On fire, Gearless. We are on fire.
Fucking, this is the greatest episode of all time.
There's one. We only needed one element to be removed, and we fucking struck gold. Can't put my finger on it, but whatever it is.
Oh, taking it back to 2015, off. Son.
Whatever it is, it can fuck off for good.
Oh, the Broncos and Cowboys are good again, and fucking and look at the show. It's firing. Oh, you're going to be, after the grand final, you're going to be fucking power spewing for 15 minutes straight.
I bet you can't wait.
Oh, it's like we found a fucking time machine. Rooster side. Okay. Oh, Verrills returns at hooker after missing several weeks through being a soft shell crab. Hutchinson drops to the bench. Momorowski out of the 17. Billy Smith replaces him in the centres. Egan Butcher replaces Daniel Saluka Fifita on the bench. And Kenny Eels. I mean, there's going to be a bounce
surely
back
from
embarrassment,
back.
Right? Yeah. I mean, just the baseline thing, not talking about the quality of any of the players inside, just through the sheer embarrassment that they were subjected themselves to and their fan base, and, you know, like, there's going to be a bounce back factor, certainly. Look, the Roosters, if the Bulldogs can put a fucking beating on the Parramatta Eels because they're not quite there, the Roosters most definitely can.
Agreed. I still lean towards Para. A, the bounce back factor. B, I think they're just a better side than the Roosters at the moment. Last week, aside.
Well, yeah, both of them lost to the Dogs, so I guess they're both in the same boat, right?
Fair. What I can see happening is Moses and Gutherson having big games, and them trying to fucking give the impression they've got their fucking swagger back when their careers were... There was caps put on their careers last weekend.
Well, the thing is, if you can... What the doggy showed, I mean, the Bulldog showed this, that if you can get in the heads of Moses and Gutho early, you can remove them from the game as a factor.
And with that in mind, I'd get Connor Watson on the field as soon as possible.
Yeah, and it's almost it's a shame that Rhea Hargraves isn't there.
Yeah,
you know, and also Radley as well.
Yeah, like, Radley's
mate. Yeah, that's probably the worst part of it for the Roosters. Some of the absolute pests and just hard guys that can give them the business aren't there.
That's fair. I'm still back in Para though.
Yeah, I'm thinking Para, but you know, as a Manly fan, I'm hoping the Eels lose.
Yeah, fuck the Eels and fuck Mitchell Moses and fuck Gutho. But
yeah. Look, another, if this game can give me another selection of gifts of Mitchell Moses getting fucking bullied, like, yeah, I'm there for it. Give it to me. Okay, the Raiders take on the Knights in Canberra. The Raiders side, Jordan Rapana comes back from suspension. Schiller out of the 17. Papali'i is named to start prop. The Knights, Ponga is named despite concussion concerns. Man starts at lock. Barnett in the second row, and Fitzgibbon is out of the side. Solo joins the bench.
Kurt Mann. The only player that even comes close to being worse than him in the NRL is Billy Wilders. I think they'll be too strong. They'll initially get him through the forwards. I think Whiten's running game off the back of that. Yeah, I don't see the Knights putting much resistance up at all.
Yeah, I think that the Raiders, like, just the go forward they're getting up the middle over the last sort of what, 4 or 5 weeks, has been just phenomenal compared to what they were dishing up in the early parts of the season. And I think that they would have learned a lot last week with the way, how easily they were rolling the Broncos in that last 20 minutes, but how they couldn't take advantage of it. They just couldn't put the passes together to take advantage of the role they were on. And I think that's something that they probably would have focused on this week. And I expect to see them, you know, being better at finishing their opportunities that they create. And I think the same opportunities are going to exist this week, because I think they'll be able to roll through the Knights increasingly as the game goes on.
Yeah, I think the Raiders showed them enough last week against the Broncos, despite the Broncos' heroics to hold them off. I think what they showed in that game will be more than enough to handle the Knights.
Yeah. And we're talking about, you know, getting under player skins. Pong is another player that you can, you know, you can get under his skin and you can bully him out of the game. And 100%. the Raiders do have a guy whose game is predicated on that kind of cunty behaviour in Jordan Rapana. So I expect to see him up in his face on kick chase and giving him the business and trying to take him out of the game mentally. And then, you know, it only doesn't take much of a collision to take him out of the game physically either, legally.
Because it's soft show crap.
Exactly. And if we've shown, if science has proved anything, is that headgear does not prevent soft shell crabs from having their shell cracked up. Okay, and finally, the last game of the round, the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs take on the West Tigers in a rematch of the embarrassment at Redcliffe.
Well, we did play them a couple of weeks ago. We've kind of fucking...
Stop ruining my narrative, man. Okay, so Patolo is out through a concussion. Curtis Morin is to debut on the bench in his place. Fatala Mariner starts in the second row. Corey Waddell benched. Gee, the Doggies are getting that much closer. I mean, they got Corey Waddell into 15 now. All they got to do is add another 3 or 4 numbers to that jersey, and they're in good shape. The West Tigers side. Big news with Dewey returning via the bench. Kapoa back in the centres after the suspension of Brent Naden. Leilua out of the side. He's been released from his contract and currently in limbo. Tuolungi comes in the starting side in the back row. Jock Madden out of the squad with our new Brown named on the bench. So that was a quick experiment.
Mm.
So Noddy has realised that aspect of Madge's coaching was probably for the best.
Yeah. I think Madden needs time and reps in first grade and this fucking around with him on the bench. And I don't think that's doing his game any good at all. I think New Brown has shown that he has the ability with his speed off the mark around the dummy half to have an impact when he comes off the bench, which is not something Madden can do. He's coming on and he's trying to take reps away from Jacko or Brooks. And it's a round peg in a square hole, if I'm honest.
What are you doing with Dewey? I mean, because the way that your guys are playing, he's not going to be slotting into the six or whatever like last year. I mean, like Brooksy and Hastings are pretty much established as that combo. So you reckon he just ends up into centres at the expense?
Well,
you just
don't know what Noddy has in store. Like, is Noddy a Brooks guy? I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he was an average halfback as well. I mean, there's a kinship there between them.
Can't play to Origin and fucking internationals.
Yeah, I mean, but you know,
I was never a Noddy fan.
He threw that intercept to fucking Matty Bowen, and like,
yeah, you're right, he did.
Fuck that guy for life.
Well, I agree with you. I was never a fan, but you can't just diminish the man's career credentials.
I just did. I literally just did.
Okay, I guess
me, 0 games of NRL. Just shit it all over.
Yeah, what the fuck do you know, mate? How many NRL games have you played?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's the same thing. I don't fucking ring up Martin Scorsese and I don't care. I've never made a film, but I'll get on Twitter and tell someone their film was shit.
That's fair.
And I'll talk shit about someone's cooking as well. I mean, I guess that one I got some form. But
yeah. What about
how many Michelin stars have you
never heard it? That's it. Never hosted a podcast, but fucking happy to hack on people about the audio of a podcast. Maybe shut the fuck up.
Yeah, see, I understand.
Oh, look at you have such a soft spot for that fucking piece of shit.
I've got a soft spot for you, Glennie, as well. But I was just going to say, the problem with your analogy is that he has been on podcasts. That's all I'm saying. I was just protecting you from that aspect of it.
He wasn't fucking hosting them,
well,
was he?
You know, like guesting, I guess.
Yeah, it's not the fucking same.
Yeah.
Anyone can be a guest. Look at Jay. That's why he's not here tonight. He's not one of the main hosts. Clearly, just a fucking guest.
Yeah, who died in a tragic
He died, with Tyson unfortunately, in a fucking Chinese New Year costume.
After Chinese New Year.
In a belated celebration.
4 or 5 months after Chinese New Year.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunate, some out of day fireworks. Fuck me.
Look, Can the West Tigers...
Yes.
I think it's a danger game for the Bulldogs because, I mean, they'll be riding high. I mean, they fucking absolutely destroyed Parramatta and gave them not a sniff all game. And it's a very Canterbury thing to do, to take five massive steps forward like that and then take six backwards by losing to the West Tigers.
Is it six backwards? Really?
Well, I mean, one more than the five they took. It's backwards. It's net backwards. That's what I'm saying.
It's probably more than six backwards, let's be honest, if they lose to the Tigers, which I think they will. One thing I do want to say, Jake Avarillo.
Yes.
Much maligned player, by
the Bulldogs fan base, yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's a weird one because he's played centre, he's played 5'8", he's played off the bench, he's played seven, maybe even... Is he slotted into hooker? I'm not sure. Weird that fullback looks to be his best spot.
Yep.
I was wondering where the Bulldogs were going to find a position for Avarillo long term. And lo and behold, Mick Potter's sorted it out in a couple of weeks. I expect a better performance from the Tigers than what they showed last week, which shouldn't be hard. Excited to see what Dewey can do and how he starts his journey back from serious injury. Bulldogs slight favourites, which is fucking insulting. Tigers 13+.
Right, and the one thing that this is one of these important games in the battle for the spoon this year. It's been a while.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
Not winning the spoon.
No,
Tigers have no chance of making the eight and then winning the spoon. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying that the Tigers are going to win the spoon, mate. I would never say that to you.
Mate,
but
don't fuck up the vibe.
I'm not. Just let me complete my thought.
Okay.
I'm just saying the last couple of years, we did have the Bulldogs versus Broncos thing, and that was that was a very good spoon battle in like 2 years ago, and it turned out to be decided in the last round.
Yeah.
But this year, there are four teams separated with a grand total of 2 points. And you bring the Knights, who aren't performing well, bring them into the... they're only 2 points ahead as well. So it's a big field yet to fully be... I mean, I would say at the moment, on form, I think the Warriors and the Titans are probably descending and looking more likely.
There is legitimately six or seven teams that have put spoon-like form on the board this season so far.
Yeah, yep.
For more than 1 week.
Yep. So very, very interesting. And this is one of those games that's critical for the race because the Tigers have a 2-point buffer on the Dogs at the moment.
Mm.
And while the Dogs aren't on the bottom, on differential by virtue of their big win against the Eels, and consigning the Titans to the bottom place, interesting times and a good battle.
Yes.
Hopefully it stays a good four-way battle for the spoon into the final round.
Are you going to fuck up this entire episode by tipping the Dogs?
No, hell no. Why would I do that? Tigers got this one. Mick Potter's turned things around from the Trent era, but he's not a miracle worker.
I agree with you, Nathan.
Lovely. I love it. That's what I like to hear. Now, Tigers, and I mean, 13+, Jacko's going to fucking kick him to death, and then he's going to touch him to death too.
Probably should have went and touch him to death first.
He's going to touch him to death and then kick him to death. He's going to be, Dennis Ferguson up in his bitch.
Jesus.
The Dogs,
I feel like you took it a notch too far.
I could have taken it a notch too far, but that was actually my fucking polite version.
Okay, gotcha.
Now, just want to do a little bit of a quick mailbag action. We had a comment from Stuart, who actually did look up the numbers that I was talking about in terms of how the Dogs performed with Trent versus how the Dogs performed with Potter. And they scored 96 points in 10 rounds under Trent at 9.6 a game. And they just passed that on the weekend with 98 points under Potter in four games at 24.5 points a game. And so that average, risen, it's brought their average up from 9.6 to 13.9. per game, and if they had run at a 13.9 point average in the first 10 rounds, then they would have won four of the games they lost in that period, and they would be somewhere around the bottom of the eight right now.
Wow.
So that says it all. And Thomas responded to, he was the guy that watching the Rabbits games, and every time he watched it, they lost, and every time he missed out. So in response to just watch the games, he said he does, but suffering through the live losses at 6 in the morning on a Sunday isn't quite made up for by rewatching the wins when I already know the result. Fair enough.
I'll take it.
Yep. Now, that is it. That is full-time for episode 472. And as always, if you'd like to support the show, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/TwillNation. You can head to the website thisweekinleague.com/links and get links to all our social media communities and all that sort of stuff. Very happy to say that finally, after many stops and starts, the 2022 supporter packs are now up thisweekinleague.com/shop. And we've also got the 2022 hoodies for sale now. If you missed out on the hoodies last year, we did get a lot of those out. You can grab a black one as per the last year one. And this year, if you got the one last year, then we've got the ones on a nice green that I made a custom green one for one of the boys last year. And it was a big hit at Magic Round when people saw him wearing it. So by popular demand, that one is now up, and by all means, grab it. And it's a wide range of sizes. So, and we're looking for those to be have a 2-week pre-order period for the supporter packs and the hoodies. And then that takes us through to almost the end of June, I think. And then at that point, we're looking for delivery in July. So, and we're going to cut it off at like the 20th. I think the cutoff is the end of the 28th of June. So get in there now. And with the supporter packs, there are a finite number that we can actually produce because one of the components is already completed and we won't be making more of them. So first in, best dressed, and don't cry to me if you miss out.
Fair.
Consider this fair warning.
Might need to make a touch football hat so I can play in it.
Make you a touch football what?
Touch football hat.
A touch football hat. What exactly is a touch football hat?
Oh, it's like that meshy kind of material, you know?
Like a running hat.
Yeah.
Okay. Not like a trucker's cap.
No, fuck yeah. Honestly, the fucking most ridiculous thing you'll ever see in your life is me putting on a trucker hat. Like, my head is not the right shape. My ears are in the wrong place to pull off a trucker hat.
So in the game thread...
my ears are in the right place because they're on the side of my head. But I feel like they sit up a little bit high.
Yeah, look, I think there are far more ridiculous hats that people could put on you than a trucker's hat. And I invite listeners to, when I put the game thread up tomorrow, to please I'll find a picture of Glennie and I'll take the background off and then Photoshop hats like on the Glennie and show us some more ridiculous hat styles than trucker's hats. Get creative,
motherfuckers! We'll have some fun with that.
Yeah, will we give someone a prize for the next one, will it just be our enjoyment?
Anyone that wants a Photoshop Jay as the back end of a fucking Chinese dragon fucking costume,
go for it. If anyone has the ability to, you know, give us an artist's impression of the tragic belated Chinese New Year dragon firework accident that resulted in the death of Tyson Gamble and the and the death of stepdad, then by all means, I'd love to see it. And on that note,
that's it.
Do you have anything? Any final remarks, Glenn?
No. Oh fuck! I've had some fun. Thank you. So good.
All good, and I'll talk to you then. Would there be the opportunity for a membersode on Sunday with this Bulldogs game? Do you think for the second half?
Out Sunday, unfortunately.
Yeah. No problem. In that case, I'll talk to you on Monday.
That you will.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.